never take it lightly that people ask me to come and speak, because I believe that, as my brother said earlier, you can speak a word anywhere you are, and I think that's our responsibility, just to speak a word wherever we are, because we are the light of the world, amen? Yeah. If we don't have the answer, nobody else has the answer, amen? If God didn't give us the answer, then how is the world going to hear the answer if he don't get it, they don't get it from us, amen? Because he's given it to us, amen? I was smiling earlier when he spoke from Matthew, the 5th chapter. Last week I had the opportunity to speak out in Clinton, Maryland, and I spoke from a sermon, True Righteousness, out of the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. But then as I listened to the testimonies this morning, I knew God had given me another good message for this house today, because this is the last week, and as you leave going home, or leave going to your other churches or wherever you leave to go to, I believe that God would have a message for us today, coming out of the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter, and we're going to talk about He's more than enough, amen? Amen. We're going to talk about Him being more than all that we need. You know, we now have to turn away from what we believe and now turn to God. Because if we don't turn to God, all our surroundings will confuse us. Amen? All of our surroundings will take us in a direction that we don't want to go. As it was spoken earlier, our politicians are not praying. Amen? Our politicians are making decisions from their own contaminated spirits. And as they make their decision from their contaminated spirits, you allow to get anything. You may get us going backwards, as you want to say. So if you would, open your scripture up to Matthew, the 14th chapter. We're going to talk about more than enough coming out of Matthew's, the 14th chapter. And we're going to start at verse 13. And when you have it, everybody say amen. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there and by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard, they followed him on foot from the city. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who have eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Amen? We want to talk about this morning more than enough. Amen? Amen? More than enough. As we enter into tough times with all the talk about banks failing and our stocks falling and gas prices through the roof and food prices and all other things that affect us today, I just want you to know that the Bible gives us good news. The Bible gives us, tells us that there's nothing good that God would withhold from us if we walk upright. This is really not a prosperity message. This just is a message of truth. When we trust God and do what God has asked us to do, when we pray and walk in the faith, then God gives us exactly what we need. Amen? we can all testify, if we would all testify today, there's been circumstances and times when we didn't know where certain things were going to come from, and then all of a sudden somebody would come and bless us and give us what we need. Amen. It may be a kind word. It may have been just that prayer that we needed at that particular time. What we don't ever want to do is we don't ever want to discount the things that don't equate to finances. In our society today, we count our blessings as something as somebody giving us something material. But I want you to know today that it's not always materialism that gets us through. Amen. It's that prayer, as I said earlier. It's that person that comes up and gives us that hug just at the right moment. It's that prayer that our brother prayed for that person in McDonald's she wasn't expecting that carried her just a little bit further. That's hope, amen, that gives us hope. We need hope today. And Jesus Christ gives us that hope that nothing good would he withhold from us if we walk upright. To our neighbors, we have to let them understand that even though in this sermon today, we will find that there's a lot of things that just took place that was just out of the ordinary. Amen? When we look at those things, we notice that there was 5,000 men. And we really need to look at that. We said there were 5,000 men. That didn't count for the women, and that didn't count for the children. It was just 5,000 men and what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Amen? Amen. And when they did that, there's something that we have to look at. This sermon was just not a sermon. It was a sermon of action. Somebody took charge. It was a sermon that required action. Amen. And it also brought about, it showed the deity of Jesus Christ. It showed us the deity of what Christ was. And so when we look at this, we want to make sure that whatever we do, that when Christ breaks something or when Christ has his hands on something, when Christ has his hand on our lives, when Christ, we know that Christ is in our lives, I want you to know that there's nothing that can stop us. We must have the confidence that Christ will never walk away from us, no matter what the circumstance is. And that's the confidence that I have in Jesus today. I wanted you to know that when I wrote this text just really got to me, because when I looked at it, the first thing that jumped out to me was that when the disciples wanted to send them away, Christ wouldn't let them. But when he had moved away from everyone, listen to what the scripture says. He left the thing to go to pray and be by himself, because he had just lost a great friend, John the Baptist. He had just lost John the Baptist because someone decided that he wasn't worth anything. That's the way we are. That's what happens when in our lives. People think that we are not worth anything. So they just take our lives. So the daughter asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter. Amen. And that what happened was, Jesus, just like us, see, what we fail to realize in anything is that we fail to realize that Jesus was fully God, but yet he was fully man. Amen. Amen. He was a man that had feelings. And as he did, he moved away and he was praying, but the multitude followed him. Why? The multitude followed him because they knew, amen, that he could heal. They knew that he was the hope that they needed to survive in the world that they were in. So they followed him. And as Jesus did, he had compassion for them and laid hands on them and healed them. Here's what I want us to be reminded today is, no matter what circumstance, no matter what position we're in, Christ hasn't forgotten about us. Amen. Christ has not forgotten about us. We could be going through some terrible times. But when Abraham, I just want to throw this in, this is not a part of the sermon, but when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, the Bible says that his son looked at him and said, "Dad," he said, "I see the wood and I see the fire." But he said, "Where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham looked at his son and said, "God will provide." I look at you today and say, no matter what you're going through, God will provide. He will provide. But when compassion was not a part, when compassion is not a part of our life, we don't have that kind of sympathy for others. When we don't have compassion for others, when we don't have compassion for the hearts of people, when we only are worried about ourselves, when we are only worried about the things that concern us, when we don't really see the heart of our friends, when we don't see the heart of our neighbors, when we don't see the heart of the people that we work with, when we don't see the heart of those who are hurting, then can we say that we love Christ like Christ loved us? That's what happened with the disciples. Listen to what the disciples did. The disciples had many excuses why they couldn't help those people. They were hungry. They had been with Christ all day. They had been with him all day. And all they could come up with was excuses. "Let's send them away," they said. "Let's send them away. I'm tired. I've been ministering all day. I'm tired. Let them go so I can rest. We don't have enough money to feed all of these people. It's late. It's the wrong time." These are all excuses that the disciples have. And ain't that something? This is how people treat us. "Send them away. We don't have time for them. They're too old. They're too young. They ain't got nothing on their mind." But there's people that need help. They're only drug addicts. We should not listen to them. They ain't got nothing on their mind. All they want to do is drink liquor, and all they want to do is smoke crack, and all they want to do is this, and all they want to do is that. But I want you to know that God had compassion for us when we were sinners. God stood for us, and he never forgotten about us. And we must have that same compassion for people. Amen? We have to stop looking at circumstances, because Christ never looked at circumstances. Our circumstances have upset us. Amen? It got us in such a tizzy or in such a frazzled way that now all we can be concerned about, who's going to be the next president and who's going to be the next congressman and what about our 401k and all of these things. When God said, "Hey, don't look at them." He said, "I own the cattle on 1,000 a year. That belongs to me. Trust me. I'm more than anything that you'd ever need. You don't have to worry about who the president's going to be. Whoever the president's going to be is going to be the president, but it hasn't changed our circumstance not one bit, because when we trust God, God said, "I'll never leave you." Good gracious alive, I felt that. That thing creaked up my back. He said, "I'll never leave you." I was in Bible class last week, and our pastor said something. Our pastor said, when we learn that we are kings and queens, that we are royalty because our father's royalty, when we learn that we have that kind of clout, then we won't worry about where our next meal is going to come from. We won't worry about how we're going to pay our rents. We won't worry about our children who are wayward right now, because if we continue to pray, God will do what? God will bless them. How many of us have been in situations where we just didn't know where our children were at times? And we prayed Then all of a sudden, they called or they came home and everything was okay, and your heart just opened up, because now you was angry at first, but when you saw them, your heart just melted because you were just so happy to see them. Amen? You see, we have to know that we can't worry about circumstances. There's four things that I saw real quick, and then I'm going to go to my seat. First of all, the first thing that I saw in this text today is that we must do what? We must start with what you have. We cannot begin to change anything until we start with what they have. Amen? You must have a plan. You got to start with something. Christ started with something. Before you can move forward, you must understand where you're going and how you're going to get there. Jesus asked the disciples to just sit the people down. That's the plan. Just sit them down. Don't worry about where it's going to come from. Just sit them down. Put them in position where I'm going to bless them. You sit them. You do as I say. Organize them. Because we can't do anything unless we're organized. We have to organize, and we must do what? We must allow God to lead us. We must have a plan. Jesus needed the people to sit and stop all the fussing and stop all the arguing. Sometimes we get so confused because we are more concerned about who's in charge than who is in charge. Amen?
Amen.
That probably didn't make a lot of sense. We worry about who's in charge too much when he's in charge.
Amen.
Amen? When we give him what we need. So he asked them to just sit them down. And then he gave them, he said, now bring the lad with the lunch here. Amen? So with that, he started with what he had. He had only 5 loaves and 2 fish. But when he finished, there was an abundance left. Amen? So we have to learn that we need to start with what we have. And then it goes to the next thing. After we start with what we have, we must then give it to Jesus. Amen? And we don't have but a little bit, give it to Jesus. Because in the hands of Jesus, a little becomes what? Much. Just a little bit becomes much in the hands of the Lord. So we must give it to Jesus. Jesus took the simple lunch, blessed it, and then shared it with 5,000 men, and I don't know how many women and how many children. We must know that when we give whatever we're going to give to God, and when God bless it and break it, all we have to do is just live on the residual. We can live on the residuals that God gives us. We can live on the fragments. I told you many times about how God has blessed me and my wife. Amen? When God blessed me and my wife, I'm telling you, we were two young people just in love. Amen? Just in love. All we knew is that we were just in love. And one time the Bible said, a pastor asked that if we would give the special offering to the church. Now, we didn't really have a lot, but it was a special offering that our pastor said the church needed this money. If we didn't get this money, there were some things that the church needed. I think it needed a roof or something, because the water was coming in and mildew was setting in, and they wanted to catch it, and so they needed the church to make a special sacrifice. Now, back then, we were just married, and you know, when you get married, all you have is the pennies that you save up and those kind of things. And so what we did, we went ahead, and after we got our checks, we gave the $200. Now, $200 may not sound like much, but when you don't have anything, $200 is a lot. And so we gave the $200 offering that our pastor asked us to give. And what it was, what we decided we would do, we would give the $200 and we would trust God. And so we trusted God, At that time, the car broke down. As we gave the $200, the devil tested us and said, you see, I told you if you gave it, I was going to call. So the car broke down. And so we had to take the money for the grocery and get the car fixed. So now we didn't have any food. So all we had was some pennies. And so what we went to the store did, we went to the store and we bought some chicken and we bought some beans. And we decided that we wasn't going to ask our parents. We were going to trust God. So what we did was we bought the beans and we bought the chickens, and we was eating the chicken and we didn't have anything else. And then one day, a knock came on the door. And here's our neighbor across the street who we give a ride to church. She, you know, she had started going to church, and so she was riding with us. She came in with two bags of food in her arms and said that the Lord told her to bring this food to our house. Don't you know that shouting broke out? Because I'm telling you, God knows how to bless us, and God knows how to break what he give you. If you give God earnestly from your heart, and I'm not always talking about finances, I'm talking about time. Give him your heart. Then God will do what? God will open up a window.
Amen.
Yes. And pour you out a blessing. So when you give it to God, Jesus knows how to do what? Disseminate whatever he needs to disseminate to keep you blessed. He's more than enough. The next thing is we must learn to do what? Obey his command. The disciples had to only do what? All they had to do was sit the people down as Jesus ordered. They took the broken pieces and distributed them and discovered that was plenty for everybody. When we obey what God has told us to do, when we obey God's word, when we obey what God has asked us to do, obey is a tough word in our society. Obedience is a tough word because nobody wants to take orders from anybody. Everybody wants to be in charge. So everyone, when you speak that word obedience, obedience to them is a cruel word. And they want to find other alternative words for obedience. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells us obedience is better than sacrifice. When we're obedient, God blesses us. Amen?
Amen.
When we're obedient to what God tells us to do, then God will bless us according to his loving kindness and tender mercy. Obedience is our way to bless, being blessed by God. What do you mean being blessed by God? By keeping a lot of the things that will come your way outside of the door. Our children that has not yet bowed down, he keeps them safe through your obedience. When you're obedient, because what are you doing? Every day, to all of us that have children, pray for our children. Every single day, you pray for your children, and especially those that's lost. Why? Because half the time we don't even know where they are. Amen? Half the time we don't even know where they are, so we have to pray and ask God to do what? To cover them with his blood. But if you're not living anything, if you're not walking anything, if you're not obedient, why do you think God want to hear your prayer? Amen? That's tough, but it's the truth. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? When we're obedient, he will bless us and give us back as he did the people. He blessed them and fed them. Amen? And lest I hold you long, I want to just leave this last one with you. Conserve the results. Be a good steward of what God has given us. If God has given you an automobile, Don't ride past your sister that stands at the bus stop waiting on the bus and y'all are going to the same place. Don't get in your automobile and go to the store knowing that the lady next door or the man next door don't have a way to the store. Ask them sometime if they need something from the store. Don't be selfish with what God has given you. Conserve what God has given to you. Share what God has given to you. Because when you share what God has given to you, then God finds you a good steward over stuff, and then he can trust you with something else. 15 years ago, I asked God to bless me with this house. Now, it was only three of us. It was my wife, my son, and myself. It was just three of us. And I asked God to bless us with this house because back then I called myself trying to be a person that was savvy with finances and wanted to, see how I could do it. So someone told me real estate was the way to go. If you wanted to raise money or get money, buy some real estate. So I went out and I bought my first home, and then I bought my second home, and then I saw this big home that I wanted. So I sold one house and bought the other house. Now here's all this house with all these rooms in it. So I asked God, I said, Lord, what would you have me do with this house? There's more space here than I could ever do. As soon as that happened, one of my brothers, a friend of mine, got put out of their house and had nowhere to go. They stayed with me for free. I didn't charge them not one dime to live with me until they could get back on their feet. God, don't you know, God didn't allow my bills to rise. God didn't allow nothing to go up on me. God allowed it to stay normal until they moved out. Amen? Why? Because I did not be selfish with what God has given to me. We must be good stewards over what God has given to us and do what? And share with those who are less fortunate. Amen. And my house, you know what my son called our house? My son called our house the hotel. He said, because every time somebody's out, they come and live with us. I done had four families live with me since we lived in that house. Four. Why? Because God gave it to me as what? As one that be able to help. And when that happens, then God blesses you above measure. He's more than all that we need if we would only trust him. If we would only put our hearts and our minds towards him, he will bless us more than anything that we could ever think. He will take us to a place where we've never ever been taken before. He will bless us because what? Because we have blessed him. So we can't be ashamed to pray for someone in the McDonald's. We can't be ashamed to tell someone on our job that our Christ lives. Why? Because if we are ashamed of him down here, he's going to be ashamed of us when we go to see our Father.
Amen. It's true.
The Bible says that it was 12 baskets filled of fragments. From five loaves and two fish. I ask you this question. How large is your basket? As we leave this season, when we go wherever we're going, don't forget that Christ is going to be more than what we need to survive. Christ is going to be that loved one that we need in the middle of the night. Christ is going to be that hug that we need when we need that hug. price is going to be whatever we need it to be, whenever we need it to be. So all I say is, give Christ all of you and not just a part. Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. We thank God for that message. I know it may not have been the long message. Y'all know that I'm a long-winded person, but I believe that God has spoken. And if we trust him, God will do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or anything that we think. So bless the Lord. Let's bow here in the word of prayer. Father, in the name of Christ, as we come to the close of this message, we ask, O Heavenly Father, that the things that we've said has helped someone. Father, we ask that you would bless them with all that they need, O Lord, as they travel and journey to and from their homes. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless their households and all that's in it. Continue to bless us, we ask, O Heavenly Father, continue to keep us faithful. Continue to keep our eyes upon you and let us take our eyes off man. Now, Father, we ask, O Heavenly Father, that no matter what they do, O God, just keep confirming to us, O Heavenly Father, that you came that we might have life and that we have it more abundantly. Now, Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.